And if you would also turn with me in the back of the hymnal, the Trinity Psalter hymnal, to page 891, we'll find there Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 104, page 891. Question and answer 104, we're asked, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? We answer that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. Congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the fifth commandment is, of course, the first in what is referred to as the second table of the law. The first four, as we know, deals with how we are to serve, how we are to worship, how we are to live before God. And the second six, that is commandments 5 through 10, deals with how we are to live in relation to our neighbor. And it begins rightly with the highest and most beneficial relationship of all. That relationship that we have with our parents, our fathers and our mothers. And this is not, as we might be tempted to think, one of the lesser commandments. In fact, if we get this commandment wrong, if we do not learn to honor our fathers and our mothers, we have to realize that we will then not be willing and even able to honor the rest of the authorities that God places over us. It is at the feet of our parents and in the home that we live and learn. We learn how to respect others, how to care for others, how to live as productive members of society. In fact, John Calvin, commenting on the fifth commandment, writes, human society cannot be maintained in its integrity unless children humbly submit themselves to their parents, and unless those who are set over others by God's ordinance are reverently honored. That's how strong he put it. And so this commandment is not merely to ensure that little Johnny or Susie brushes their teeth or goes to bed when they're asked or takes their turn doing their dishes without grumbling. It doesn't just stay there. Peace and harmony in our communities, in the congregation to which we belong, in our workplaces, the whole world in which we live, these things rest on our children learning to respect their mothers and fathers in the home. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40 tells us that God is a God of order, not chaos or confusion. And the Lord, who has become our covenant God, would not have us running around without boundaries and restraints. Read the book of Judges, and you quickly see the madness that took place when Israel had no king and everyone did as was right in their own eyes. And we are no different. We still have the same sinful natures that would cause us to push against the fences, to pull at the reins, to try to see what we can get away with. We have sinful hearts, and God our Father knows this. And so he gives us the fifth commandment, in fact, all of the commandments, and he has given us Jesus, who, as we heard in our passage, set the great example of submission for us. The greatest example of submission, in fact, in all of history. All through his life, Jesus honored his Father. And especially at the end, in spite of the fact that he was innocent, he did not revile, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And he calls us now to follow in his steps, and to respect and to submit to those God has placed over us to rule us. Our theme this afternoon, then, as we look at the fifth commandment, as summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism, is this: the Church confesses her divine calling to honor all God-ordained authorities. The Church confesses her divine calling to honor all God-ordained authorities. We'll ask two questions by way of points. In the first place, to whom does this command extend? And in the second place, to what does this call us? Now notice, boys and girls, in our theme, we speak of God-ordained authorities. And we want to be immediately reminded that those who are put in place to rule over us are put in place there by God himself. And we say that this is a divine calling to remind us that it is God who ultimately calls us to obey those in authority. We submit to them, not merely to stay out of trouble, not merely to keep the heat off of us, but we obey authority because God commands us to. And so when we disobey our parents or other people in authority, whether in our schools or in public or whatever, when we disobey them, we have to understand, and we have to be very clear on this, that ultimately we are disobeying God Himself, who has placed these authorities over us. But as we confess our divine calling to honor God-ordained authorities, we ask in the first place, to whom does this extend? Sometimes we think that because the command says, honor your father and your mother, that's all it means. I remember when I was a boy, I remember being quite lippy and mouthy, and if someone told me to do something, I'd say to them, you're not my father, you can't tell me what to do. Believe it or not, boys and girls, Reverend Ramke soon, indeed all pastors, even the elders among us, we were young ones too. We were teenagers. And we all, as rebellious teenagers, would look for opportunities to do the opposite of what we were supposed to do. We all went through those stages. And I had it in my head that only my dad was the boss of me. Well, I had it partly right. Certainly in the fifth commandment, we are commanded to honor our fathers and our mothers. But this commandment, as the Catechism wisely reminds us, as it summarizes scriptural teaching for us, that is, as it pulls together all that Scripture teaches for us, the Catechism answer reminds us that this command extends to all those in authority over me. And we want to touch on some of who are included here. But you know, someone, before we get into it, someone might say, well, how do we go from father and mother to all those in authority? Isn't that quite the jump? Are we taking some license here? Well, we can make that jump when we realize that the Bible itself, from Genesis to Revelation, does not confine parenthood to just our natural parents. Abraham, for example, was called the father of many nations. Deborah was called a mother in Israel because of the work that God did through her in the time of the judges. The elders who sat at the city gates were considered the city fathers. David called Saul, my father, because he was king of Israel. Elisha called Elijah, my father, as his protege. Paul called Timothy, my son, in the New Testament. And so we're not taking any license here. We're just going by what the Bible teaches, that this idea of parenthood extends to all authorities over us. But of course, let's start with the basics, the foundation, as we said, for the rest, where we're trained to obey all authority, God's command to honor our fathers and our mothers. And by the way, this command is not just heard in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, where we find the Ten Commandments. We hear this command again and again in the Bible, which tells us that God takes it very seriously. In fact, he even goes so far as to say to Israel in Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21, Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And so, quite a scary verse, if you think about it. And without getting into all the details and all the things that is taught here, we want to see it, at the very least, we want to limit what we learn from these verses to the teaching that God takes it very seriously that we honor our parents, that dishonoring our parents, not obeying our parents, is a very serious crime. One, in fact, that at least in the Old Testament, according to Old Testament law, God saw as worthy of death. And as New Testament Christians, we may say God sees this as worthy. It's a sin that is so serious that Jesus had to die for it as well. Listen to some more verses. Exodus 21 verse 15. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21 verse 17. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Leviticus 19 verse 3. Every one of you shall revere his father and his mother. I am the Lord your God. Proverbs 20 verse 20. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Proverbs 30 verse 11 and following calls the generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother filthy and proud. Old Testament law, you say? Hardly. Listen to the New Testament. Jesus himself told the rich young ruler in Matthew 19 to honor his father and his mother if he would have eternal life. And he chastised the Pharisees in Matthew 15 for allowing their tradition to supersede the command of God to honor your father and your mother. In Ephesians 6 verse 1, Paul addresses children directly, telling them to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3 verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And listen to those who are included in, and this is quoting 2 Timothy 3 verse 2, listen to those who are included in the perilous times to come in the last days. Those who are disobedient to parents, they are included in this as well. Listen as well to 1 Timothy 5 verse 4. 1 Timothy 5 verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn how to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. And we can glean from this that a child's obligation to take care of their aged parents, God takes that very seriously. It's the simplest form of piety. It's the simplest form of righteousness. It is something that is good and acceptable before God, to care for your aged parents. And that includes, by the way, grandparents, whom we can often take for granted. Grandparents too, young people especially. Grandparents too need love. They need your visits. They need you to show appreciation to them. They need to feel that they are important in your sight. And God commands you to do this, to honor them as well. Now, I was in the thrift store a couple of days ago when I was overhearing a conversation. I wasn't eavesdropping, but I was overhearing a conversation of two elderly ladies. And they were talking about all the things that they have that they don't know what they're going to do with. And one lady said, you know, I keep saying to my children, do you want this? Do you want that? And they said, well, Mom, what are we going to do with that? You know, they didn't cherish the things that their aged mother cherished. And I came home and I said to my wife, you know, one day, all these nice things that we've accumulated for ourselves will be part of our kids' garage sale. You know, 25 cents and take everything that's on the table kind of thing, you know. But it's a simple thing. But, you know, honoring your father and your mother, your grandparents, means, you know, showing appreciation for the things that they appreciate. Spending time with them, listening to their stories, even if you've heard it a couple of dozen times before. But just, you know, listen to them and make them feel special. And boys and girls, remember, indeed children of every age, remember that Jesus himself was subject to his parents. Look at Luke 2 verse 51. As he grew up in their home in Nazareth, he respected them, he was subject to them, he did as he was told, he helped them in doing chores, and he was their creator. And in that wonderful passage in Philippians 2, we hear that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient even unto death on the cross, in submission to his Father in heaven. And so, the first group or category of people that we want to think of as we consider this commandment is our parents and our grandparents. They are to be honored, first and foremost. But who else is included under the fifth commandment? Well, we heard it in our passage in 1 Peter. Let me read again verses 13 and 14. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. And so don't miss that little but powerful phrase in there, for the Lord's sake. It is he whom we strive to please. Ultimately, it is the Lord who is honored when we obey our leaders. And our leaders would include kings and governors. In our case, they would include our prime minister, our premier, our ministers of parliament, our local authorities like mayors and council members. We have to respect them and the laws that they bring about, that they enact. Except if they go against God's law, and then we must, of course, obey God rather than man. And we have to respect the agents that are put in place to execute the laws that are enacted. So we're talking here of policemen, judges, bylaw officers, people of that nature. Our passage addresses servants or slaves as well, calling them to be submissive to their masters with all fear. And so employees, we might say it that way today, are to respect their employers. Even if they're wrongfully treated, they're to treat them with respect. If we had read a little further, we'd have come to chapter 3, verse 1, where wives are commanded to be submissive to their own husbands. The authorities of the church, that is the elders, the deacons, together with the pastor, must be respected as well. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17 says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." And Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, "Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account." And of course, we could not, boys and girls and young people, round out this part of our discussion without mentioning our teachers and principals of our Christian schools. My grandson says, "Grandpa, don't use the S word, school. That's a bad word, but we need to talk about it. In a few weeks, you'll be back in school. Remember this command. Honor your father and your mother as you return back to school in a few weeks." Why? Because God commands you to respect those in authority over you, whom he has put in place to correct us and to maintain a peaceful learning environment in our schools. And so let's remember this and keep those little those hearts and those mouths in check so that we may obey God. We're taking this a little bit out of context, but it certainly makes the point where Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 24, a student is not above his teacher. And so in class, in the hall, on the playground, Jesus expects us to speak and act as his children. And no matter how, age we are, as the children of Jesus, we are to respect all authorities that he has placed over us. Which brings us to our second question as we confess our divine calling to honor all God-ordained authorities. And this is the question, to what does this call us? And question and answer 109 is very helpful with this. "That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me." That's question and answer 104, actually. "That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline. And also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us." And again, remember that what the Catechism does here, it draws together scriptural teaching for us. And here it reminds us of the implications of the fifth commandment. And the first implication is that we are to honor parents and all those in authority. We have to honor them. We are to treat them with special reverence. Now, the Hebrew word translated honor in the fifth commandment, that is in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, the Hebrew word that translated honor actually had to do with someone's weight. It had to do with someone being heavy, carrying around a certain amount of weight. And in that time and in that culture, if you were on the thicker side, you were carrying on, you were a little bit on the bulky side, it meant that you were well off, that you were wealthy, because of course a wealthy person could eat well, and so they would naturally put on weight. And as time went by, the word in the Hebrew came to mean someone who is honored, someone who is respected, someone who is reverenced and held in high esteem, and someone that you should treat with a certain amount of respect and reverence. That's our calling as Christians, to what our parents and all those in authority, to honor them. Well, how do we do that? Well, in the home, in our schools, in the workplace, in our church, in our communities, we are to speak as Christians and act with respect, recognizing that God has given them the right to rule over us. And so, practically speaking, it forbids arguing back against authorities over us, following their rules, the fences and the parameters that they have set out around us. We are not to show any disrespect by our tone, by our body language, by our facial expressions, even our posture. No matter how old we get, or how old they get, we never make a superior feel like an inferior. And this, by the way, must come from our changed hearts. And this is why we must be pursuing growth in our spiritual lives and seeking by the help of the Holy Spirit through much prayer and through His Word to become more and more like Christ. Because the heart that loves God and desires to do His will honor the authorities that He has placed over us. And again, we can't say this enough. Authorities govern only as they have been placed in these positions by God Himself. But we have to see the other side of the coin. There's a caution here. And so we're talking here to the fathers and mothers and to employers, anyone in a position of authority, teachers and so on. There's a caution here for those who rule as well. And Paul touches on this in Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3 when he says that fathers and parents are not to provoke their children to wrath, lest they become discouraged. Husbands are told in 1 Peter 3 verse 7 to live with our wives with understanding, giving honor to them as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Masters are called to treat their servants fairly, giving up threatening. The point is that those who are in authority also have a responsibility, and the responsibility is this: to provide the setting in which they would be honored. And so, for instance, if mom or dad or the boss or a teacher, a policeman, is overly harsh, always irritable, subject to mood swings, unfair in their judgments, holds the reins too tight, always stressed out, doesn't spend quality time, never laughs or has fun, then it makes it harder for those who are called to submit to them to do so joyfully. And so there's a responsibility upon those who are in the position of authority as well. And I grew up in the times when it was still said, children should be seen and not heard. Remember that? Or speak when you're spoken to, answer when you're called, do as I say, not as I do. I grew up in that time still. Thankfully, we've moved past those days, especially as Christians. And we get that if we would be respected, that we must respect those who are under our authority as well. We must take the time to listen to them. And we must recognize their value. And we must be thankful for them as well. And we must seek their good in everything. And we must, in a sense, earn their respect. Even if we don't earn it, they are to respect us. But we ought to be striving as Christians to earn that respect and earn that love. And so the first implication for us is that we are to honor those God has placed in authority over us. And the other side of the coin, we should seek and be striving to earn that honor as well. But the Catechism also calls us, it reminds us of the Bible's teaching, to love those in authority over us. Which is, of course, a big part of the Christian life. To love others, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And this is part of it as well. That includes loving those who rule over us. And how do we show love? Well, we can think of what is taught in that great passage that's referred to as the love passage, 1 Corinthians 13. We are to be patient, kind, respectful, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily provoked, not rejoicing in evil, trusting, enduring. Loving authority means that we are striving to do these things and to practice these things. We are doing to them as we would have them do unto us. We are putting those in authority over us first place, above ourselves. We are seeking to be respectful to them and truthful and honest and appreciative. This is biblical love. And so the second implication is that we are to love those in authority over us. Answer 109 reminds us, 104 reminds us as well, that we are to be loyal to those in authority. Loyal, of course, meaning not rebelling against them. On the other hand, defending them. We are on their side, always. This is easier when we're small, of course, because dad and mom are the most respected. Dad is our hero. Anything he says is right. Every word that comes out of his mouth is wisdom. It's easy to do that, to be loyal to them when we're young. But then puberty kicks in. And teens, of course, as we quickly find out, can be very rebellious. And suddenly pleasing mom is not as important as pleasing my friends. The attention or approval of boyfriends and girlfriends often take the place of the needs of mom and dad. Parental curfews become a challenge to see how far I can push it. And so if they say 11, I say 11:05, and it goes on and on until we can push it to 11:30, and keeps going. Suddenly we want to speed. We want to not wear our seat belts. We want to text while we're driving. Young people and teens, as a matter of fact, for all of us, if you're doing this, please, please stop. Don't text and drive. I see it again and again on the roads, how dangerous it is. And you hear again and again on the news how dangerous this has become. You can take a life. You can take your own life. Don't text and drive. But it's in us, that sinful nature to rebel. And we want to do what we want to do. And as I said, once you hit adolescence, puberty, as you hit the teenage years, it becomes a matter of disobeying authority. Whatever laws and expectations are placed upon me, I want to do the opposite. I want to do what I want. We want to impress our friends, our co-workers, rather than impress our fathers and mothers as far as how obedient we are. The Lord would have none of that. He calls us to loyalty to those in authority over us in the fifth commandment. This includes defending our parents or bosses or our schools or our country's reputation all through our lives. Respecting the laws that are put upon us. Never turning against them for the sake of the Lord's holy name. You know, today we have that phenomenon of the homegrown terrorist. You've heard that term. People who have been born in a land, grew up in a land, reap its benefits, been educated in a land, and then they end up, seeking to bomb somewhere or go off to some other country and kill people or destroy Canadians. It's disgusting. And it's very disturbing. And it's a disobedience to God's command in the fifth commandment. God commands us also to obey and submit to authorities when they correct and they punish. And so, boys and girls, groundings, when our teacher makes us write lines in school, when the police give us a ticket, or if we have to submit to a spanking, unless it's done in a rage, extra chores, timeouts, all of these are to be received with respect. Remember, if we do the crime, we are to be prepared to do the time. And even if the powers of be make bad decisions, we are to be patient with their failings. And we have to trust in the Lord that He knows what is best. And one of the things I've learned over the years is not to be too quick to call somebody stupid or careless or forgetful or an airhead. Because I've done my share of stupid, careless, airheaded things. Kids who roll their eyes at their parents today, your own children will roll their eyes at you someday. But that's not what God commands. We are to be patient with the mistakes, the oversights, the bad or the wrong conclusions that authorities make. Now, we have to ask, why does God want us as Christians to obey all authorities? And the answer is given in verses 12 and 15, where Peter writes, "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Verse 15, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." And so here's the thing. In the time that this was written, Christianity was in its infancy. Christianity was seen as a sect. some kind of a breakaway rebellion from the Jewish religion and a breakaway religion against the state. And so it was very important that every Christian obey and behave in such a way that no charge could be brought against them and against the church and against the God whom they worshipped. When they obeyed authority, it took away from the accusation that these were rebels, that these were troublemakers. And so they were commanded to keep the laws of the land and to treat all others with respect. And you know, this has not changed, especially in our time. We can give our church a serious black eye, our own congregation and the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole, we can give it a serious black eye if we become known in our society and communities as lawbreakers, if our children are known to be wild and rude, and we as members publicly criticize the leaders of our churches. It's a terrible witness to the world. And we can actually hinder the gospel by our defiance of earthly authority. But if we obey, even those who disagree with us will have to commend our God. And so, fellow Christians, let us pray for the continual filling of Christ's Holy Spirit, who is able to produce in us Christ-like obedience, such as He exemplified by submitting to His Father and to earthly rulers, to bear our sins on the cross, the sinless one for the sinful. Let us honor His obedience by our own. To Him be all glory. Amen.